Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father, and Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. Amen. We continue reading through the Bible. We find ourselves in Lamentations, and the text for my sermon will be that which was read just a moment ago from Lamentations chapter 3. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I've got good news and I've got bad news. It was 587 BC and it was all gone. God's earthly dwelling place, Solomon's temple, and the rest of all of Jerusalem was laid to waste at the hands of King Nebuchadnezzar, that Babylonian king. Like Jesus at a later time, Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, mourned over the city as he viewed the religious, moral, and political breakup of God's people. Jeremiah, he knew weeping. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet while he was still in his mother's womb, and like young Timothy, he needed reassurance about his ministerial office because of his youth. He prophesied that God would break the yoke that bound Israel. That is, God would forgive her sins and deliver her. Yet because Israel continued in her sinful ways, God would enslave her to Babylon with a yoke. Though he also promises final deliverance from every yoke. And Jeremiah himself actually wore a yoke to dramatize his message. Remember, he's also Mr. Object Lesson. And that is part of the biblical background for wearing the stole that marks the office of the pastor as one who wears or bears the yoke of Christ. For 40 years. For 40 years, Jeremiah had proclaimed a deafening message of judgment to unhearing, uncaring hearts. And then finally, doom fell. Jeremiah's grief is unbearable. He could use a Stephen minister. Yet, in his grief, Jeremiah also spoke words of hope, seeking to rouse his hearers to repentance and faith in the God of hope. Our text is actually at the center of a highly poetic book, a lament, actually, 5, over the destruction of God's temple and city, and the consequent dismemberment of God's corporate people into scattered exiles. Against this background comes a beautiful reaffirmation of the living trust in God, who is able to raise the dead and who extends hope in the midst of the most dire consequences or circumstances. This is a theme that is close to the heart of every hearer. How often we are speechless in the face of overwhelming catastrophe. Disasters occur daily in our lives. And in the face of death, we can only hope. And the only hope that we have in the life of the world to come. We would not know what to say, what Christian witness to offer, were it not for the assurance that the Lord is my portion. So which do you want? The good news? Oh, you want the bad news first. The bad news. Disaster is in our life. Personal, family, church, community, nation, world, disaster abounds among us. Some are caused by our own evil behavior. Others are caused by evil deeds of other people. Some are intentional and related to the sinful nature of humanity. And others are accidental and due to the fallen state of this world. But all result from sin. The sin of Adam, inherited original sin or deliberate actual sin, and they impact our daily lives in our lives daily with terrible effect. Our response is often helplessness and hopelessness, confusion and impatience when our solution to an anticipated problem or disaster doesn't work out. Or terror when there seems to be a possible deliverance from an impossible deliverance from an impending disaster. Or a remorse when a tragedy has occurred. How can we or should we interpret what has befallen us? What do we do now? Hopelessness and helplessness are similar, but hopelessness is worse. Jeremiah's message brings both help and hope. So what is good? The good news is that God's steadfast love is there for us. God Himself is there for us. We are not all alone. The great I Am is with us. God does not deal arbitrarily with us, nor does He relish getting even or gloating or would He say, "I told you so." God cares about what happens to us. And He knows our pain as He watches us react to the tragic events of our lives. God intentionally intervenes at times and instructs us about life's realities so that, happily, we see and believe the truth. He is with us. You see, God's hesed, that's the Hebrew word, His hesed, His grace and His steadfast love is constantly there for us. It's a word that's used only to describe the love that God has for us. And it emphasizes the ongoing endurance, His steadfast love. For He loved us from the beginning. And His love did not fail when the first man and woman brought sin and ruin into His good creation. And His love does not fail when you, man or woman, bring sin and ruin into His good creation. The grace and love of God personally came in His Son, Jesus Christ. Our Lord suffered the pains of being human in a fallen world, even as each of us does. Moreover, He bore the sins and the griefs of all humanity. He literally poured out His life to death in order to redeem us from hopelessness. He literally gave His cheek to the spider and was full of reproach. His resurrection from the grave is a source of steadfast hope, even in the face of death. Now, He lives and is with us to the end of the age and beyond. His compassions, they are new every morning. And daily we remember our baptism into Christ. Daily we remember our baptism into Christ. It's not something that happened to you a long time ago. It's your baptism. It happens to you every day. For every morning you wake up renewed. Baptism is at the center of our life, and now the baptismal font is at the center of our sanctuary. His compassions are new every morning, and the hope that He gives us will be with us as long as we live and at the hour of our death. That's a promise of hope. I will be your portion is there for us. We lay claim to this promise of hope by moving through solitude, sitting in silence, through repentance, burying His face in the dust, and through humility, offering His cheek. To hope in God and in Jesus, to trust in God's wisdom and power and love. Someone once said, if we look back, we find only the record of much that is wrong. If we look forward, we may see only question marks. If we look around us, we may find only confusion. If we look inside of us, we may see little reason for comfort. So let us look to the cross and to the empty tomb, to the Lord, who is our portion. There is cause for real joy today because of the hope that is within us, given by God's promise, I will be your portion. So if drastic and dramatic changes frighten and disturb us, let us remember God's promise. I will be your portion. Amen. You are the body of Christ, each one of you, part of it. Amen. Please rise and let us cry out to God.